Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Tillet, the style leader in hospitality workwear and hotel and restaurant uniforms. Learn more at tilletnyc.com. Meet and Three is back. We're kicking off our fourth season and celebrating HRN's 10th anniversary with a very special episode about our home, Brooklyn.
Roberta's was such an interesting place with such a strong gravitational pull. It attracted all these different groups.
The neighborhood has changed a lot over the past decade, from its culinary renaissance to the complicated implications of gentrification.
I would say the majority of the people who are members of our co-op definitely have a certain purchasing power, are mostly white, and we are trying to change that.
We're taking you on a journey that spans the birthplace of food radio to buzzy neighborhood pollinators to the transformative health journey of our borough president.
That was my moment of, you know, wow, someone has thrown me a life raft and I'm going to take it.
Subscribe to Meet and Three. That's M-E-A-T plus sign T-H-R-E-E, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
You're listening to Feast Meets West, the show tracing the stories behind your favorite Asian foods. I'm your host, Linda Liu. We are broadcasting live from Heritage Radio Network at Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick, Brooklyn. Every episode, we dig deep on an aspect of Asian cuisine or culture by having a conversation with a passionate people from the world of Asian food. Welcome back, dear listeners. We're just starting our summer season today, and here to kick it off, we have the team from Fish Cheeks in the studio.
Hi.
Hi. Hi. Fish Cheeks is a bustling and vibrant restaurant serving contemporary Thai food with a focus on seafood. It opened in 2016 and is located on Bond Street in the heart of downtown Manhattan. And when Pete Wells of the New York Times reviewed the restaurant, he said, quote, "It simply cooks the way I wish more Thai kitchens did," end quote, and awarded the restaurant with a star. Named for the lean, tender cheek meat that is considered the tastiest part of a fish and a delicacy in Asia, Fish Cheeks offers a menu with dishes that span the diverse regions of Thailand. Each dish a combination of unfiltered flavors, an intensity and freshness, and unapologetic heat. And I can say this from experience, as sweat was pouring down my red face while I had dinner there, which is just my unfortunate biological reaction to eating spicy food. But that didn't stop me from stuffing my face with more tiger prawns, coconut crab curry, Manila clams, and morning glory. It was really refreshing not seeing the same items as a standard Thai restaurant menu here in New York City. So this is a Pad Thai free zone.
Yes.
And here to chat about the restaurant and their journey from Bangkok to Bond Street is Suan Sinpong, who is the chef and co-owner of Fish Cheeks and sister restaurant, Chicks Isan. And Jen Seisu, co-owner of Fish Cheeks and Chicks Isan. Welcome, guys.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, of course. So, Jen, let's start with you on how did you know you wanted to get into food?
I didn't know in the beginning. I have no idea. Like, I just got a summer job, you know.
When? Like, in college?
Or in high school.
In high school.
In high school. So, I started in high school, and it was easy getting, you know, a restaurant job in a Thai restaurant in New York City. They're always in need of people. So I started there. and kind of just like stuck with it. You know, it was always part-time and I was really good at it. So I moved up. I was a bartender. I was a food runner at one point.
So you did all of
that? I did everything. Okay. I managed the restaurant. I did that throughout college. And yeah, it just kind of...
You just stuck with it.
Yeah, I just stuck with it.
And how did you choose like a high school job in food rather than like retail or something? Was it your
money?
Like, okay.
Tips.
Paid more? Okay, tips.
It was, you know, it was easy. You're good at it. You can make a lot of money.
Yeah, you're so honest about it.
Yeah.
And where did you learn to cook?
Okay, my first teacher, I have to say it's my dad, but like...
And was
learn
that
how
in...
learn how to cook is Nam, Bangkok.
Yeah. Okay. So all of like your primary experience has been in Bangkok.
In Bangkok, yes.
Yeah. Did you move around while you were in Thailand?
In Thailand.
Yeah.
No, like mainly it's like Bangkok.
Mm-hmm. Bangkok.
But then he also moved to Australia.
I moved to
Way
Australia.
Way to omit that major detail.
Sydney. Yeah, Sydney.
Okay, so Australia. How long were you in Sydney for?
About 2 years.
And where and what were you cooking there?
I'm cooking at the Long Grain restaurant. It's a Southeast Asian food.
Okay.
Yep. Like, it's good. Like, two...
It's quite well known, isn't it?
Yeah. It is. Yeah, it is.
And what made you decide to move to New York?
Oh, when I'm in Thailand, right? I already know. Like, my parent is here, is in US.
Oh, your parents are here.
Yeah, my parent is here. So I have a plan. Like, I have to move here. It's just like have to like.
He already made his decision a long time ago that he wants to open a restaurant.
Yep.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, and it just so happened that... okay, how did you guys meet?
Through his brother, actually.
Okay.
I worked in a restaurant where I was a GM. It was called Obao, like on 50... in Hell's Kitchen area. And his brother basically came in to work with us as a manager, and we got talking. We were working together for probably like a year. And... we kind of just, we want to open a restaurant. I want to open a restaurant, but I don't know what it is yet. But I definitely know I want Thai food, real Thai food.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it just kind of fell into place because he was like, oh, I have a brother. He's a really good cook. And he has, like, all this, like, pedigree. And he has, like, a really good resume. So I'm like, bring him over. Like, this
bring
is
him,
perfect.
Move him to New York.
Yeah.
And that happened.
Yeah, and it did. It just kind of, it felt right. And it felt, like, really not forced. Where... I'm really happy about that. And it just, I don't know, like he came over and he just, we opened the restaurant within what, like 6 months?
Six.
I believe.
That's
yeah.
like record speed. Right?
I know. Well, me and his brother, we were kind of like looking around for space and stuff like that in the beginning. And it took us about 8 months. The minute we saw the space, we kind of like, he was already kind of here, like a month into it or two months into it. He was already here. And yeah, we found the space.
That's amazing. Yeah. So what was the like inspiration point for the concept of Fish Cheeks? How did you guys decide on the seafood menu?
Om wanted to do seafood since the beginning.
That time I'm like working in Sydney, right? And talk to Chad. Chad is here.
Mm-hmm.
Like
Chad is your brother.
Yeah, Chad is here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my brother. I don't think like we have seafood focus Thai food here. Like Thai food focus on seafood.
Yeah, I never see that.
There's like a missing gap.
Yeah,
you know.
But we like Thai people like eat seafood. We eat seafood.
Like all the time.
We
the majority.
Yeah,
or,
but why?
Yeah.
Why you don't have it?
Exactly. Yeah. Why don't you?
It was so, that easy. It was like we saw the gap and we were basically wanting to fill the gap.
And that's really interesting because it like to me. And I'm like ignorant of it because I've never lived in Thailand and I don't know like seafood is such a main component. But like judging from the restaurants here, I'm always like seeing like the standard noodle and curry dishes. I never think like, oh, seafood should be a big component. So like going to your restaurant, I was like, oh, this is all new to me, but it's so delicious. And why isn't there more of it?
Right. Because it's hard. It's hard. I guess like, you know, people don't want to really change. I guess like, I want to say Thai food was probably introduced to the U.S. what, 20 years ago max. Like,
true.
It can't.
Yeah.
I don't think it's longer than that, and I don't think that people here are as like, I'm just talking about taste wise. Like, you know, as sophisticated as people are now, like with the palate and everything. Like, they can handle the spice, they can handle the heat, like the really fragrant flavor, and plus the ingredients that are not available here. We still encounter that today. And, you know, it's pretty easy for, even for me, like, I would think that if I were any restaurant owner 20 years ago, I would probably do the same thing. Pad Thai, pad siew. It's easy. It's noodles, chicken. You can just add some vegetables to it, some sauce, and it's done.
Yeah, you don't have to source for the herbs or the seafood.
The ingredient is, like, easy to
find. Right. For those dishes, it's, like, it's easy to find, okay. Right? But I think that, and I thank them for kind of introducing Thai cuisine to the U.S.
Yeah, but, in an easy, accessible
right,
way.
Exactly. Right. But for now, I think that people are extremely well-traveled. Everything is super easy to kind of, like, reach and grab and go to. Like, people are more exposed to it. And I think it's time to actually, like, introduce, like, the real flavor.
Yeah, and the level of intensity.
Right. Like, I don't know how to say it without really offending other people. But just, like, I always
feel... You can be honest here.
Right. I always feel like when I say that, it just sounds so, like, obnoxious. And I'm like, no, but I'm not trying to be. Like, I'm not trying to, like, say that it's bad. You know, what they're doing is bad. But I think that, like, if you go back to Thailand, you don't really just eat this. You eat other things as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Can you describe what the menu looks like and how you guys decided on these specific dishes?
It's all him.
It's like what we eat.
Right.
That's
what we grow up eating.
What we grow up eating.
Okay, as simple
and
as
like
that.
Normally we eat like.
Like what's comfortable to us and you know.
It's like okay if you go to like Thai restaurant, right? Like, ask for family meal, like family meal, like staff meal. It's gonna be delicious, like so amazing.
So messy but delicious.
So amazing.
Oh, amazing!
Like amazing,
yeah.
It's like delicious, right? But the menu, just like the
that
restaurant sell is different.
And how do you break it out? Is it like to be shared or?
So for us, like Thai family style, it literally means that, you know, you order a bunch of stuff and then you share it.
Yeah.
It's so like you want a little bit of everything.
Right.
It's not individual, like, oh, this is mine. Like, I don't want to share this with other people. You want a little bit of sweetness. You want a little bit of tart like flavor. You want a little curry. You want a little soup, like, you know, a little stir fried. And that's what it means to, you know, to share everything together, like Thai style. I know people get confused about it a little bit here, too. They're like, wait, no, is it supposed to be, like, really,
I
like,
get
a
my
large
own.
Portion?
Okay.
And I'm like, no, like, you know, we want you guys to enjoy a lot of flavors together. Like, it's a combination of everything together that makes it a good experience. And, like, you get to taste a lot of different dishes also. Yeah.
That's fair. And has the menu changed at all since you guys opened? So
yes.
Like 3 years ago?
Yes. He it's gets changed. Bored very, yes. very easily.
Like, how do you change it?
Season?
Okay.
I want to say about every 6 to 8 months.
Emotion?
Yeah.
With emotions and seasons. Okay. But what's something that's like stayed? Is there anything that's stayed?
Yes. Definitely.
What is that?
It's a coconut crab curry. Yep. What else? The steamed fish with Thai herbs. The
crab fried rice.
Those three always are on the menu. And everything else, we kind of just like rotate it around or like bring in new dishes. Also, like the chicken wings is new, but I don't think we're going to get rid of it anytime soon.
Yeah. So it sounds like, okay, we talk about coconut crab curry a lot. Mm-hmm. Could you guys just describe it for our listeners, why it's so good and what makes it special?
I'll take this one.
Yeah.
Take okay. It.
Yeah. Like curry pears.
I don't make it. He does, but we're very, very proud of it just because we hand crush our own paste. It's, you know, we don't use canned curry paste.
Wow.
And that, I think...
That's pretty rare, right?
Right. That's really rare. It's time consuming. Mm. And not a lot of people does it. I'm not really sure if there's any other restaurants in the city that's like a Thai restaurant that does it, but maybe. I'm not sure. But for us, like, you know, it takes a long time. It takes about 8 hours to actually just make one pot. So yeah, that's like a little like baby.
How
so
many ingredients?
For curry paste is dry chili, like two kind of dry chili, mm-hmm. fresh chili, like Thai chili.
But how many? Like
awesome. How many total ingredients? can't count it on his fingers right now.
Right. Dry, two dry.
Okay.
One fresh chili, lemon grass, galangal. Grachai, like white ginger,
right?
Garlic, guppy, and like fish sauce, tamarind juice, and of course like coconut palm sugar. Palm sugar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So almost like a dozen, yeah. If not more.
Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty incredible.
So I think that also, you know, it makes a difference because you get to taste like the fresh ingredients, whereas like, you know, the canned product, you might not be able to like taste or smell the aromas of those like fresh, I guess, ingredients.
Yeah, yeah. Of course. What are some of your other favorite dishes on the
menu? I love the steamed fish. That's like, I fought for that one.
That has a great presentation.
Yeah, like I really, really like that dish. He didn't want to do it in the beginning.
I try to change like all the time.
Yeah.
Right. But Jen's like the one keeping you grounded.
I was like, you can't change that. It's so delicious. You can't. It's easy. It's just like steamed fish.
It comes in its own little fish dish.
Yes, it does.
Fish-shaped dish.
Yeah. But, like, that's the thing. Like, it's cool here, but when you go to Thailand, if you ever go to Thailand, that's, like, how it's served everywhere.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but it's so special here.
Yeah
it really is.
My parents come here, and they're like, oh, your dishes, they're so, like, homemade. I was like, yeah, but it's cool.
And how many, like, ingredients go into that? Like, what does that, like, smell like and taste dish, like?
That's pretty easy.
Yeah.
I think, like,
it's what
I have to say, like, pretty easy, like lemongrass broth.
Mm-hmm. Right? Lemongrass broth with what? With chili. With
chili, garlic,
fish sauce, fresh lime juice, and a little sugar.
The good fish, like fresh one.
It's about the ingredients, getting the freshness and capturing that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For the ingredients.
I think like Thai food is like all about balance also. Mm. You know, you get a little bit of everything. You get a little sweetness, tart, saltiness, like umami, a little bitter, like, and I find that every dish has a little bit of that. One, like, you know, one more than the other, but it's still kind of every taste are kind of present.
Yeah.
Most dishes. Yeah.
How do you source for these fresh ingredients?
For seafood or for just like
all
produce?
Of it, yeah.
Seafood, we work with the Fulham Fish Market people. You know, we get delivery probably, I want to say like 4 to 5 times a week.
Wow.
Yeah. But they're really easy. We thought that it would be harder. And we don't use like exotic fish or anything like that. We use local fish that can be found around this area. And yes, maybe it's not the same fish as you can find in Thailand, but it's similar.
Similar. Taste, the texture.
Yeah.
Mm, okay.
It's the same.
Yeah. But the produce, I think, is a little harder. We work with Asia Market, Sea Market, whatever market that we can find.
Whatever market you can get your hands on.
Right. He has a lot of problem with this. He gets very frustrated.
One market cannot, like...
Have everything.
Yeah.
He gets very frustrated. I know, he's like always coming to me and he's just like, oh, you have to find me this other like ingredients. I can't make this
so
dish.
What's an example of stuff that you can't really find here? What, like, what do you struggle with?
We can find and can find betel leaf. It's like this main ingredient.
Not, it's hard to find.
It's like, yeah. Like a complimentary ingredient that if we have, it would make the crab curry taste really, really amazing. But it's very, I don't know, like it's so hard. Like we have this lady that like...
Okay, winter you cannot.
Winter you can't. Summer
oh, wow.
you can.
Okay.
It comes and goes.
Can you import never know. It? Like, oh, you need the freshness.
Yeah, we don't want to like freeze it and yeah. like, you know, bring it here. And sometimes if we do import it, it's not going to last very long.
And betel leaf cannot... frozen.
Yeah, you can't freeze it.
You cannot.
Wow. Yeah, that's just, you can't get that here.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I found a new dish. I cannot make the new dish for, yeah. Because I cannot find, like, the ingredients. Yeah. Some ingredient missing. When it's missing, it's not the same. It's not the same.
Yeah.
Right. It's not I feel like you dish. Have so much integrity with your work that you're like, if this is missing... or that's missing, I just like...
It's not.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
It's embarrassing for him.
Yeah. Oh my God.
He's like, oh my God, if my friend comes, they're going to be like, this is not correct.
Right, right. what about the... So you mentioned chicken wings and how that's yes. a really popular one.
Yes.
What is that?
Oh, that's my favorite too, I'm sorry.
That's your favorite. And you also serve that at your sister restaurant,
yes.
right?
Okay. Yes.
So tell me about the chicken wings and also Chicks Isan, what you guys do there.
Isan food?
Chicken wings first.
Chicken wings?
How do you make them?
Why are they special?
It's almost so basic that, like, I don't even want to tell you. So there's this instant noodle in Thailand. It's called Mama.
Okay.
And it has, like, this... like tom yum soup's flavor.
Okay, yeah.
That's, like, MSG packet, yeah. basically. Mm. And it's so good. I think every kid, like, would eat it, you know. Like, it's so good.
Yeah.
And that's basically our inspiration.
flavor.
I think we got called out once in Yelp, and we were like, yeah, but that's exactly what we're trying to go for.
Great.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Like, no,
yeah.
they were like, oh, this is, like, not sophisticated flavor. This is, like, from instant noodle. And we're like, yeah, but that's exactly what we want to do. Like, yeah.
That's awesome.
It has, like, what, lime powder, chili, toasted ground rice, some salt, and what else? Sugar?
Sugar.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that to, like, the people that grew up in Thailand, of course, that's, like, standard.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
for the palate here, it's
right.
something new,
right.
especially mm-hmm. on a chicken wing. So
yeah.
that's cool.
Yeah. They're like, wait, what is that, like, zesty, like...
Zesty. Yeah. yeah like, zesty fun stuff. yeah, and then Chicks Isan, what is that? So that's your sister restaurant?
Yeah, so that it's in DeKalb Market Hall.
Mm, Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, yeah. So they approach us, you know, they have like an empty stall and we were in a position where we felt comfortable enough to expand, but not in a full-size like restaurant scale. So we think that it's like a pretty good stepping stone for us. And when Om saw the space, he was like, okay, I think we should do this. Like, Isan food is, like, northeastern Thai food.
It's popular.
It's from there, but it's very, very popular in everywhere in Thailand.
Oh, what's
it? It's, like, grilled chicken, papaya salad, sticky rice, lab. So those are, the main dishes that you'll find.
Yeah.
And it's street food.
It's street. Yeah, it's
yes and no.
Street
yeah, you
food.
Can find it as a street food or like sometimes like you'll have a restaurant that
building.
Does it. But it's pretty easy and almost like let's do it. It's you know, it's easy enough and it's good. Like I want
good for a small space.
Yeah. They have one cart.
Right. Sometimes
and they can
like,
make everything.
Everything.
Oh wow. Yeah. Okay.
Easy.
Yeah, that sounds great. And it's so different from your seafood concept, obviously.
Yes. Again, going back to he gets bored very easily.
That's hilarious. Okay, we're going to take a really quick break, and we'll be right back with more Feast Meets West.
This episode is brought to you by Tillet, the style leader in hotel and restaurant uniforms. Tillet is redefining workwear for the hospitality industry, ensuring that you and your team feel great from stove to street. Tillet is a full line of workwear clothing from pants to work shirts, chef aprons, jackets, dresses, chef coats, and more, with over 95% of their garments produced in the USA. Each hotel and chefwear collection is timed with the seasons, comprised of exceptional functional fabrics and built to last. Custom uniforms can be tailored for your restaurant, hotel, or store. Learn more at tillitnyc.com. That's T-I-L-I-T-N-Y-C.com.
Are you enjoying this podcast? Heritage Radio Network has plenty more. My name is Korsha Wilson, and I'm the host of A Hungry Society here on HRN. A Hungry Society focuses on highlighting dope people doing amazing work in food, and we talk about how we can make the culinary world a more diverse and inclusive space. You can join the conversation by checking out A Hungry Society wherever you listen to podcasts and on heritageradionetwork.org.
Welcome back. Okay, I want to ask if listeners want to start cooking Thai dishes at home, what would you say your three key staples are that you must stock in your pantry? I know three is very limiting for Thai cuisine, but like if you had
it's
to pick
good.
It.
It's fine.
Okay.
You can take
fish
this.
Fish sauce? Mm. That you have.
Do you have like a special brand that you like or?
A tree crab.
Okay.
Tree crab.
Tree crab is actually a Vietnamese crab, yeah, fish sauce, but it's
yeah,
good.
But it's the taste yeah, is good. Yeah. Really good. Right. The coconut sugar, palm sugar, whatever. Right. And gabi, it's a shrimp paste. You have to make it. Yeah, like if you have to make curry, you need it.
Yeah, which is a lot of the dishes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Awesome. So I think this is a question for you, Jen. Just like talking about the business experience and all of that, what do you think it takes to open up a successful Thai restaurant in this day and age and also to attract a New York clientele?
I think you just have to be authentic to yourself, you know, like, and you have to put out like food that you really care about and you really enjoy. And I think the rest will come. Like, you have to do the most, do the best, and like do the most, I want to say, you know, like it's almost like you just have to work hard at it, and like once that happens
you still have to work
hard. Yeah, you still have to work hard, obviously. Yeah. But like, you know, customer will come, they will see that, you know, you are really like pouring hard your soul into it. It's yeah.
And did you guys always have Bond Street in mind? How did that come about?
No, I mean, I love Bond Street. I've been in New York since I was 12. So it's one of the streets that I think is beautiful, but I never thought that I can be in it. I know that I wanted just downtown area, anything, you know, below 14. And my broker called me up one day after probably 8 months of looking at a lot of places that I was just like, oh my God, no, like this is probably crazy. Like I saw the address and I was like, you're crazy. I can't afford this. This is like, what? And she was like, no, like it's great. Everything's
yeah. And you're
fine.
Like surrounded by what, Italian restaurants?
Yeah. And okay. We saw the space and we were just, yes, we're going to take it. Thank you very much. Yeah.
That's awesome. And you're really changing the neighborhood with your food.
Yeah, I hope so. I don't know that, but I hope so.
yeah,
I really hope
so. We're starting
so. Yeah.
to.
Yeah.
And then do you think about social media or having like a digital presence? Is that a part of your strategy right now?
Yes. I do have to say yes. I think it is very important, even though, you know, some people...
Because you have the good location.
Yeah.
So you already have that.
Yes. But, you know, it's almost crazy if I don't participate in social media. It's a tool. It, you know, it drives a lot of customers. It drives a lot of audience. And I think it just, you know, even if I don't want to get into it personally, I think it is very, very important for business.
What are some failures and like challenges that you guys have come across either as a restaurateur, Jen, or as a chef, that helped you grow?
I think the failure for us is, you know, thinking that we can do everything by ourselves.
All right.
right? And like, you know, not...
So you tried? Team. Yeah. You tried that? Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, in the beginning, we're like, yeah, we can do everything. It's fine. It's fine. It's
small
fine.
Small team.
And
be
it's
ready.
Like super small team. We're like super ready for everything. And then we just got burnt out really, really fast.
Right. Like, how long did that take? Or were you guys just burning both sides of the candle?
Yeah, I can't remember.
I think almost in the
kitchen, you blacked
like
out.
seven days a week for probably like, what, 6 months straight?
Okay.
Yeah.
Over?
Yeah, or a little bit over, I think. Like, he was just, like, in there. So, yeah. We realized it was super
important. So now you understand, like, you have to have, like, a good team. Work-life balance?
Yeah.
You know, that's a consideration point?
No, 100%. I 100% believe that. It's almost like if you're in there, like, 7 days a week, you can't think of anything else except there.
Right.
You don't have fresh ideas. You don't have any new concepts. You don't have any new ways of approaching any problems that you might face, like, on a daily basis, right? You're just going to see things in the same way over and over and over and over again. Yeah.
You need bigger team.
Yeah.
Like, bigger.
Yeah. Do you guys feel like you have a good team size now?
Right now, yeah.
Yes. Right now, it's good.
Yeah.
Oh, good. All right. Yeah, it takes time to learn all of that, right?
Yeah.
And then what are some memorable moments that you really cherish and that you like to think about, like major milestones or stories from your customers?
I'll take this one first, and then you can think about it. For me, you know, I think it's just like a thing that keeps on happening on a daily basis where people come in and they're like, I really enjoy your food. This is amazing. All the reviews that we've been getting that, you know, people that actually like understand what we're trying to do and are repeated customers, and like they let us know that like you guys are doing something amazing. Like, we appreciate you being here. This is great. You know, this, especially like with Thai customers that, you know, they're so far away from home. And when they come into the restaurant and they're just like, this tastes like home.
Yeah,
that's
so
just like,
especially
oh, I'm just like,
the,
oh, that we did something right.
The natives.
Yeah.
That's really important for you.
Yeah.
So for me, it's like simple. Just they like, when they order like more food, like ask for more vegetable, ask for more sauce. Ask for like double, like I want to do like one more fried rice.
You're like, yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
Nice.
No, he has this dish. It's like a relish dish that comes with like side of fresh vegetables. And it's hard for people to understand what it actually is. It's literally, it's just like vegetable dips. But, you know, like for Thai people, the dipping sauce is so important. Like, it's, you can find it anywhere. And there's so many like different kinds. And for him, it's like, you know, if they just ask for more vegetables, he's like happy about it because he's like, oh, they understand.
Right. And they want more of it.
Right.
So it's always pleasing to like serve more of the good food. Since you started working in the Asian food scene here in New York, do you think the Thai food scene has progressed?
I think so.
Yeah.
I definitely think so. You know, I want to say that people see that we can do something different and still are somewhat okay, successful. I don't know, maybe. we're doing something right? Like, so they can do that as well. You know, I rather compete with good food and not with pricing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's very important to me. I think it's important to let more people know what Thai food really is and educate people on what it actually is, right? And I feel like the more restaurants that are opening up, if they want to do something different, they should. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, because you guys are quite specialized.
Yeah.
I mean, what would you also like to see more of? Like, more folks like yourselves doing like specialized like Thai cuisine.
Yeah, I want to see more different dishes that you can find in Thailand but you can't find here. You know, like there's some people that might be really good at making different types of curry. There's not just three curry in Thailand. There's like many different types of curry.
Well, like red, green,
right.
Pa,
we call them rainbow curry in Thai restaurants.
Oh, okay.
It's like, oh, your basic rainbow curry, right? You have green, red, Penang, and Musliman curry, and it's just like, that's like, you know, the all the color and the spectrum. And it's just like, yeah, if you can kind of step away from those and maybe like offer something else that are like really like cool, go ahead. You should do it, you know?
Yeah. And also the fact that you guys spend so much time creating your own curries and all of that. I mean, do you feel like you're starting to see a trend with that? Or maybe you guys are starting that movement where it's like more of a focus potentially on...
I mean, I hope so. I haven't seen any restaurant that like makes their own curry yet, but I definitely see newer restaurants that are, you know, kind of being unapologetic about like,
Some restaurant order from Thailand.
Oh, some restaurant order curry paste from Thailand.
Oh, like, interesting.
Yeah, so like they'll import some it. I don't know this. Sure. that's cool too.
Yeah, that's a new channel. Yeah. I didn't even think about that. But I mean, at the same time, you guys spend so much time with your ingredients. I mean, it definitely deserves more recognition. Right. And of course, like the price point is also different from your typical like pad thai takeout place, as it should be.
Right. I mean, that's one thing that I'm actually like not, I'm not going to apologize for, just because it's really something that really kind of what I want to prove to other people. Like Om just said, we use probably like a dozen of ingredients that goes into just curry paste. This is not just to make the curry yet. This is just the paste, right? That's 12 things.
Right. Yeah.
We charge right now, we charge about $24 for the crab curry. We give a pile of crab with the curry sauce, with all the other ingredients. And some people are like, well, it's just curry. Why do you have to charge $24 for it? And it just makes me so mad.
I'm
just
Jen's like, rolling her eyes. I know.
I'm just like, why? Like, you go to an Italian restaurant, you can get a pasta for $18, $20, and you're not even apologizing for that. And you're like, oh, this is great. You know?
Yeah, and that's made with, like, flour.
Yeah, yeah.
Flavor intense in a different way. Okay. So what's next for you guys and your restaurant? So you have two restaurants under your belt now.
Hopefully we can expand more. We have something in the work right now. Soon. Can't really say it yet. Yeah, we want to like kind of just keep on expanding. Like it doesn't have to be anything big, you know. We don't mind small space. He wants to do noodles, actually.
Okay.
Like noodle soup. There's like a lot of different kinds of noodle soup. Actually, Andy Richter from Pok Pok actually came out with a noodle soup like book, and I saw that and I was like, he beat us to it. We should have just gone.
I thought he retired or something.
I think he still has. I'm not sure. I think he still has like, you know, all his restaurant in the West Coast,
And, but not in New York. So
not in New York. Yeah. But yeah, I saw that and I was like, oh man, so good. So good. We should have done that at like Brooklyn, but okay.
I think, you know, putting into practice, right? Because like I still don't know where to go to
get
Thai noodle soup.
There's this one restaurant on 52nd, Pure Thai Cookhouse. They do a pretty good job, actually. Yeah.
Nice.
But that's only like one out of like 1,000, right?
Of course. Like, yeah. One is definitely not enough.
Not enough. Yeah.
So would you say you guys are expanding into like other specialized dishes, or would you like replicate the fish cheeks concept?
I think we just have to look at every like opportunity and every space like kind of like differently. If we want to expand in New York, maybe it has to be a different concept, because this guy is not going to do the same thing twice and he's going to get bored of it. You know, it's like, and I'm going to hear about the same thing over and over again. But if it's a different city, then maybe we can kind of like replicate the same thing that we already have. Yeah.
Let's do something else.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Before we wrap up the show, I'm going to ask you guys a round of quick fire questions.
Oh my God. Okay.
I'm not good
at these things.
It's meant to be fast. So just share what comes to mind first. Okay. Besides your own restaurants, of course, what's your favorite restaurant in New York City right now?
Anything?
It doesn't have to be Thai. Yeah, anything.
It doesn't have to be Thai.
A good like favorite restaurant that you would recommend in New York City right now.
I really like Four Charles Prime Rib. I've been there a couple times and it's crazy. It's so good. It's so good. That steak, like the cheeseburger. Oh my God, it's so good.
All right. What about you,
Uncle Boone.
What is that?
Uncle Boone's. It's actually Thai. Oh, yeah, it's
like, that's right. Yeah. Right. Okay.
They do pretty good.
Yeah.
It's fun. Do you guys know the owners
there? No, we don't. I've never met them. But thanks to them, we can do what we do. I really think that.
I'm going to say bok bok.
Yeah.
If like...
If it's still open.
Yeah.
Bok
bok.
Yeah.
I do miss that. What's the best thing you guys ate recently? It can be out at a restaurant, at your own restaurant, or something you made at home.
He made... it's called like... Kamu, which is pork legs stew over rice, but you make it with like Coca-Cola. Like you simmer it with Coca-Cola.
Interesting.
It's so good. It's like super tender, and then it's like the flavor is like five Chinese spice. And it comes with like a little vinegar, chili sauce on the side. It's over rice. It's
really amazing. Is that on your menu at all, or a special, or just like a thing?
He just made it one day. He was like,
Okay, I see.
Yeah, like, I was like, this is so good. Maybe we will run it as a special or something.
Maybe soon.
Yeah,
you get to work with a.
I know it's good. It's good when he's like really bored and he's like, oh, I need to make something else, and he just like whip out some other dishes and like. This is amazing.
That's great. Fun.
Yeah.
A lot of diversity there. Okay, what's your favorite... This is probably going to be hard, but what's your favorite food city in Thailand? Mm-hmm. If you could only choose one city or town in Thailand for favorite food...
I could say Bangkok.
Bangkok, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. Like, it's everything. Bangkok is like everything.
It has everything. Mm-hmm. It does. It really does.
Everything.
Fair. Yeah. Yeah, it does. I didn't think about that.
Okay, and then lastly, if you didn't pursue your passion for food, what do you think you'd be doing? Or have you just never thought about it?
I never thought about that, actually. I'm not sure.
Sorry?
What would you do if you're not in restaurant business?
Yeah.
If you were
cooking?
I'm not sure. Actually,
farmer?
I never thought about
a farmer. Okay.
Yeah, Owen wants to farm. Yeah, Owen wants to have his own farm.
Grow those betel leaves.
Yeah.
And sell it.
And sell it.
Actually, there's a market for that.
Yeah, right. I know. We would buy it.
Awesome. Well, thanks for all the answers and for sharing your stories. It was a pleasure having you on the air with us, guys.
Thank you so much, Linda.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. And that wraps up our show. Thank you, dear listeners, for tuning in. Did you like this episode? If so, please leave us a podcast review to let us know your thoughts and what you want to hear more of. We truly appreciate your feedback. We'll be back in a couple weeks, that's June 5th, with another awesome conversation from the world of Asian food.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, and to learn more about our 10-year anniversary celebration happening all year long, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the food world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the heart at the top right of our homepage. Thank you for listening.
I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.